first of Samuel chapter 16. Now, we just read about God rejecting Saul as being king because he disobeyed the Lord's command. And God had said it's far better to obey him than to sacrifice to him. He wants obedience. And so God has said that he's rejected Saul as king, and he's looked for another man. And of course, that man is David. So the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you go on grieving over Saul? He has been rejected by me as the king of Israel. But now get oil and go to Bethlehem to a man called Jesse, because I have chosen one of his sons to be king." "How could I do that?" Samuel asked of God. "Because if Saul knows about it, he'll kill me." So Saul was jealous. He knew that he'd been rejected and that God was looking for somebody else. And whoever that somebody else was, he was going to hate him. So God replied to Samuel, "Take a calf with you and say that you're going to go to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll tell you what to do. And you must anoint as king the man who I point out to you." Samuel did what the Lord told him. He went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town came trembling to meet him and asked, "Do you come in peace?" "Yes," he replied, "I have come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me." And he told Jesse and his sons to purify themselves, and he invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab, and he thought to himself, "This man here is surely the one whom the Lord has chosen." But the Lord said to him, "Don't pay attention to how tall and handsome he is." Well, of course, Saul was described as tall and handsome. So Samuel should have learnt from that and known that, well, being tall and handsome is no proof that you're going to be a good king, because that was Saul. And he was tall and handsome and he'd been a bad one. So God says, "Don't pay attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him." It's very similar to how God says about Saul, "I've rejected him, because I do not judge as man judges. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look upon the heart." And that is, of course, a principle for all time, that God is not impressed by outward appearances. And we've got to remember that when it comes to church life and the way that some people think that by putting gold all over your church, you're going to make it somehow more pleasing to God. God doesn't look at that. He looks inside at the heart, and in the Bible, the heart is the mind. So Jesse called his next son Abinadab and brought him to Samuel, but Samuel said, "No, the Lord has not chosen him either." Then Jesse brought Shammah. Samuel said, "No, the Lord has not chosen him either." And so Jesse brought seven of his sons to Samuel. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." So he asked him, "Do you have any more sons?" Jesse replied, "Well, there is the youngest, but he's out looking after the sheep." "Tell him to come here," Samuel said. "We will not offer the sacrifice until he comes." So Jesse sent for him, and he was a handsome, healthy, ruddy, that's red-faced young man, and his eyes were sparkling. Yahweh said to Samuel, "This is the one, anoint him." Samuel took the oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And immediately the Spirit of the Lord came upon David and was with him from that day onwards. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. So the Spirit of the Lord had been upon Saul, but then it departed from him. I think what that means is that God potentially was making it possible for Saul to be a good king and to be the leader of Israel as intended, but that just didn't work. And so God took away all that potential blessing and power and put it instead upon David. So, verse 14, "The Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." A lot of people think that God does all the good things in your life, and there's this devil with his spirits doing all the bad things. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is all-powerful, and he creates the light and the darkness. He creates peace, and he also brings disaster, or evil, if you like. So this evil spirit is from the Lord. His servant said to him, We know that an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. So then, give the command, and we will look out a man who knows how to play the harp really well. Then when the evil spirit comes upon you, the man can play his harp, and you'll be well again. Saul said, Good. Find me a man then who plays the harp well, and bring him to me. One of his servants said, Jesse from Bethlehem has a son who's a very good musician. He's also a great warrior and a handsome young man, and the Lord is with him. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, Send me your son David, the one who looks after the sheep. Jesse sent David to Saul with a young goat, a donkey with bread packed on it, and a bag full of wine. David came to Saul and entered into his service, and Saul loved him and chose him as his armor bearer. Then Saul sent a message back to Jesse, David pleases me well, let him remain here serving me. And from then on, whenever the evil spirit sent by God came upon Saul, David would get his harp and play it, and the evil spirit would leave, and Saul was feeling better after that. Now, the idea, as I kept emphasizing the way I read, is that the evil spirit comes from God. And it's not that there are bad spirits wandering around getting inside people. This is all controlled by God. In the Bible, the spirit means the mind. So you could say that Saul was ill, that he was ill in his mind, that his spirit was ill, and yet this was from God. And so the idea is that God sort of worked through that, and yet God could also take it away, and he chose to take it away through David playing the harp. So it was all from God, and we've got to remember that. It's a real comfort, really, that there is nothing out there that is sort of random evil going around possessing people, making them do wrong things. God is all-powerful, and he can work even directly on the mind of a person.